Many blessings to you all, and welcome to your journey in faith with the Reverend Dr. Amos Chewachong. Our text for reflection is Hebrews 8, 1 to 13. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1 to 13. Now the main point of what we are saying is this. We do have such a high priest who sat down at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven and who serves in the sanctuary, the true tabernacle set up by the Lord, not by a mere human being. Every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices, and so it was necessary for this one also to have something to offer. If he were on earth, he would not be a priest, for there are already priests who offer the gifts prescribed by the law. They serve at a sanctuary that is a copy and shadow of what is in heaven. This is why Moses was warned when he was about to build the tabernacle, "See to it that you make everything according to the pattern shown you on the mountain." But in fact, the ministry Jesus has received is as superior to theirs as the covenant of which he is mediator is superior to the old one, since the new covenant is established on better promises. For if there had been nothing wrong with that first covenant, no place would have been sought for another. But God found fault with the people and said, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with the ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they did not remain faithful to my covenant, and I turned away from them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will establish with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." By calling this covenant new, he has made the first one obsolete, and what is obsolete and outdated will soon disappear. My theme for reflection is the better covenant. The better covenant. I once met an elderly man in a rural area in Cameroon who had spent most of his life tending to his farm. He told me about a time when, as a young man, he agreed with his neighbor to exchange livestock. The deal seemed fair, but over time the neighbor failed to keep his side of the bargain. Instead of bringing the promised cattle, he made excuses. Frustrated, the old man told me, "A covenant is only as strong as the one who keeps it." That sentence has stayed with me ever since. Hebrews 8, 1 to 13 tells us about a better covenant, one not based on human effort but on the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. The old covenant given through Moses was good, but it had a flaw. It depended on people keeping their side of the agreement. And just like the neighbor who failed to deliver his cattle, Israel failed to keep the law. But God in his grace introduced a new covenant, one that would not depend on human faithfulness but on his own. The writer of Hebrews explains that Jesus is the mediator of this new covenant. Unlike the priests of the old system who had to offer sacrifices repeatedly, Jesus offered himself once for all. Unlike the old tabernacle, which was a shadow of heaven, Jesus now ministers in the true sanctuary at the right hand of God. This is why the new covenant is better. It is based on God's faithfulness, not ours. The idea of covenants is familiar across cultures. In Asia, arranged marriages often include detailed agreements between families to ensure harmony and stability. In the Middle East, business deals are sealed not just with contracts, but with handshakes and shared meals, symbolizing trust. In parts of Europe, ancient guilds and societies operated on mutual oaths, binding members to loyalty. In the United States, the Constitution serves as a covenant between the people and their government, outlining rights and responsibilities. Across Africa, traditional elders mediate disputes by reaffirming covenants of peace and unity. But no human covenant, however well-intended, is as unbreakable as the one God offers in Christ. I think that is why John Stott once wrote, "Grace is God loving, God stooping, God coming to the rescue, God giving himself generously in and through Jesus Christ." The new covenant is not about what we do for God, but what God has done for us. He has written his law not on tablets of stone, but on our hearts. He has drawn near to us so that we might know him, not just as a distant deity, but as a loving father. And yet, like the Israelites, we often prefer the old ways. We fall back into trying to earn God's favor, thinking if we just do more, pray harder, or give more, we will be accepted. But the beauty of the new covenant is that we don't have to strive to be good enough. Jesus already is. The old is obsolete, fading away, and we are invited to live in the freedom of grace. There are two questions for reflection. Number one, are there areas in your life where you are still living as if your relationship with God depends on your performance? Number two, how does knowing that Jesus is the mediator of a better covenant change the way you approach your faith? And now our practical exercise for today. Take a piece of paper and write down any burdens or expectations you have placed on yourself to earn God's love. Then tear off the paper as a symbolic act of surrendering to the new covenant of grace. Lord Jesus, thank you for being the mediator of a better covenant. I confess that I often try to prove my worth to you, forgetting that your love is not based on my performance, but on your faithfulness. Write your truth deep in my heart and help me to live in the freedom of your grace. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.